Okay, we're going to start here on the Mishnah on Lamed Bet and Aleph. The Mishnah is about to discuss one of the five problems that you can have in Shechita Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, and that's the problem of Shia, delaying, causing some sort of delay during the process of Shechita, which we posel the Shechita. So the Mishnah begins, Nafla Sakin V'Igbia. The Sakin, the knife that he was using for the Shechita, fell down, and then he picked it back up to continue the Shechita. Naflu Kelav, some piece of clothing on him falls off, Big beyond, and then he picks it up. He shchiz et hasakin. He goes out and sharpens the knife, va'af. And he got tired then in the process of the shchita. After sharpening the knife and then beginning the shchita, he gets tired. Ba'chaviro v'shachat. Someone else takes over for him and continues the process of shchita and completes it. What's the delay that is permissible here? Im shaha kedei shchita psula. If he delays or tarries the amount of time to do a shchita, then it's psula. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Im Shaka de Bikur. Not the Shechita, that's the determining factor, but rather Bikur, which we'll discuss in the Gemara, we've also discussed it earlier, which is the Bedikat Chacham of the Sakin, that's the determining factor on how much time, if you have that delay, if you tarry that much, it separates the two actions that you have over here. So now the Gemara asks, Mai Kadei Shechita? What does it mean that you have a delay here, the amount of time to do another Shechita? So Amar Rav, Kedei shchitat behema acheret. It's the amount of time it takes to shecht another behema. So if you're in the middle of this process, and then you tarry, delay, the amount of time it would take to shecht a whole new animal, as opposed to sometimes we have a determination of what the shia is, the amount of time it would take you to complete this action. So we say here, it's not the amount of time it would take you to complete the shchita, that's not called tarrying, it's the amount of time it would take to do a completely new shchita. Amri le Rav Kahana Rav Asi le Rav. Kahana Rav Asi asked Rav, Kedei shchitat behema le behema, ve'of le'of. For when we do shchita, do we differentiate between animals and birds? The amount of time to tarry or cause a problem of shia by behema is determined by another shchitat behema. The amount of time that determines the shia by an oaf is the shchita of another oaf. Oh, dilma af behema the oaf. Or maybe the kula, that the shchita behema is the time elapsed that is problematic in terms of shia. Doesn't matter if it's a bird, doesn't matter if it's a behema. Today shchita behema is what's called shia. So amalu, lo have bedichna be bechavivi di shaili. When I learned this, I was not confident enough. I didn't feel strong enough to ask Chavivi. Now, Chavivi to Rav is his uncle, Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia was his uncle both through his mother and his father, and he learned this by Rabbi Chia. So Rav says, I didn't feel confident enough to ask this question of him when I learned this din. So I actually don't know the answer to that. But then we're going to see, Itmar, Amar Rav, Kedei Shechitat Beima LeBeima Va'Of LeOf. In the end, Rav says and concludes that the amount of time that's considered Shia depends on whether you're doing a behema or an oaf. If it's a behema, then shia is the kadei shechitat behema. If you're doing an oaf, doing fowl, then it's a matter of time, kadei shechitat, another oaf. Ushmuel, who disagrees here, and goes lekula, and says, afilu behema leof. That no matter what, the objective standard for shia is the shechting of another behema. That's the determining factor. Whether you're shechting an oaf or a behema, it's irrelevant. The amount of time that's considered shia is based on a behema. First of all, we know that Oaf is questionable in terms of its Shechita. We know there's a Deya that ain't Shechita Oaf min Torah. And number two is we know that the Shechita Oaf is a derivative of Shechitat Behema. It's really a sub-standard Shechitat Behema. So the Gemara, I don't think, would consider that to be a Shia. The Shia of an Oaf itself for a Behema, I don't think the Gemara would consider in that direction. Chen ki at the Ravin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, afilu Behema la Oaf. Ravin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, says also for a Behema la Oaf is the determining factor. So now we have what we call a machloket. We have Rav versus Shmuel. But we also have on Shmuel's side, Rabbi Yochanan. And what's the din? Rav and Shmuel, the halacha is kerav b'isure. So that would mean that the halacha is like Rav here. But if you have Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, halacha ke Rabbi Yochanan. So that would mean over here that the halacha should be like Rabbi Yochanan and like Shmuel. And that's exactly what the Rabbeinu Chananel, the Rabbeinu Chananel's posek, the kula, the tzad kula of Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. On the other hand, Rashi and the Baal HaGlochot Gedolot paskin the other way, and they paskin like Rav. Why do they paskin like Rav? Because of the next part of the Gemara. And that is, Rabbi Hananya Amar, the amount of time is, Kadesh Yavi Behema Acheret V'yishchot. The amount of time it takes to bring in a new Behema and do the Shechita. So Amar says, Yavi Afilu Me'alma? What do you mean, bring in a new Behema? That means he's got to go fetch a Behema from somewhere else? Who knows where the other Behema is that he's going to bring in? Natata Devarecha L'Shiurim. You've now created a subjective standard rather than an objective standard of the amount of time for Shia. If it has to do with how much time it takes you to bring in a new Behema, that's something that cannot be determined up front. So Amar Papa, Omedet Latil Ika Beinayhu. The case or the issue in hand here is where it's Omedet Latil. It's adjacent to this situation. The animal is ready right now. The only question is you have to throw it down on the ground to prepare it to do the Shechita. So the difference or the nafkamina between what Rabbi Hananya says and Rabbi Yochanan says is, Kedei Shechitat Beima, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Kedei Shechitat Beima means literally the amount of time it takes to do Shechita. David, that's what you were saying before. That's a very short time period. On the other hand, Rabbi Hananya suggests that it's not. Rabbi Hanina and the other Girsa suggests that the amount of time that is taken here is not only the Shechita process, but the setting up of the animal for the Shechita. The animal's right here, but you have to flip it over on its back, lay it down on the ground. You got to set it up for the Shechita. That's also an additional amount of time that would be elapsed. And I'm assuming the same would be by Ov also. So Gemara says, Amri b'marova, mishmeid Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Hanina. In Eretz Yisrael, they said, in Rabbi Hanina, kidei shiyakbiena v'yarbitzena v'yishchot daka ledaka v'gasa ledaka. So the amount of time it takes for you to lift it up, v'yarbitzena, and have it crouch down or be in a position where you can do the Shechita, v'yishchot, and then you actually do the Shechita. Now, the match is daka ledaka. If you're in the process of doing Shechita of an animal that is of the smaller type, like sheep and goat, then the amount of time is the kadesh Shechita of another sheep or a goat. The other hand, gasa, when you're talking about large animals like cattle and oxen, those types of animals, then it'll be kadesh Shechita of another animal of that size. And here again, it's not just about the cutting of the Shechita, but it's also the setting up of the animal in a position where it'd be ro'oi l'Shechita. Obviously, with a smaller animal, that is much easier than a larger animal. So now, based on that, Rashi says over here, I'm going to tell you that I don't, even though generally halacha is Rav Rabbi Yochanan, halacha ki Rabbi Yochanan, over here, there are a number of people who tend to agree with Rav. You have Rabbi Hananya over here, number one, who says that it's not just about Shechitat Beima, but the setup. And then you have the Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they distinguish between which animal that you used. It matters if it's a thin or lightweight animal versus a heavy animal. And as Rashi points out, the difference between a daka and a gasa is not as significant as the difference between a behema and an oaf. So in Eretz Yisrael, if they're demanding that you distinguish between a behema, daka, and a gasa, then certainly they're going to demand that you differentiate between an oaf and a behema. Based on that, Rashi says that even though Rav Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Rabbi Yochanan, over here, the other Amoraim are holding like Rav. And since they're holding like Rav, so just like you say, daka le daka, gasa le gasa, you're going to say oaf le oaf. And so too, the Baal HaGalachot Gedolot, when he brings down the Halacha, says, gasa le gasa, daka le daka, oaf le oaf. Based on that, they paskin like Rav, and they do make such a distinction between each item or each behema or oaf, which are you are shechting, the amount of shia will depend on the relative size of the animal that you are shechting. And therefore, it'll be the shia will depend on the replacement of what you're doing now, meaning setting up a new animal and doing shechita on that new animal, that will determine the amount of time of shia. Amar Rava, ashochet b'sakin ra'a, afilu kol hayom kulo k'sheira. Person does shechita with a blunt knife, and it takes him all day to do it. He goes back and forth all day. That's fine, because he never did a shia. He never was tarrying or delaying during the shechita. He was always in the process of shechita, and that's fine. Bai Rava. Now Rava queries, shiot mahu shiitztarfu. When we say that shia is a problem, does that mean you need a single block of time that is the tarrying or delaying of kedei shechita? Or can you be mitzaref? If you delay a number of times along the way, each one of them by themselves is not enough to be the amount of kedei shechita, but together they add up to kedei shechita. Is that enough? Gemara says, what do you mean? Tifshu lami didei? Why doesn't he answer his own question from his statement before? Rava said you can take all day to do shechita. we can do all day just Krita. Guy's cutting back and forth, and he stops here, stops there, stops here. Sounds like that's the case, that you have a bunch of stops along the way, and they're not mitzdareif. Mar says, no, that statement of Rava is hotam delo shah. That's a case where he never stopped. Rava's statement about going all day is when he keeps cutting back and forth all day. He never stops at all. But the query of Rava now is about what happens if he has intermittent stops. Those intermittent stops, can they be added together to determine whether it's enough shia? So that we leave as unanswered question. And then, boy Rav Huna b'reid Rav Natan. This is again an important statement here. Sha'a b'miut simanim. If he does shia on a miut of the simanim, mahu, what's the din? And we leave it as a teiku. Teiku means we go to chumrah. This relates back to the machloket Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam that we saw on 2 days ago's daf. That machloket, a fundamental machloket about what miut we're talking about over here. According to Rashi, Rashi l'shitato, we'll see Rashi inside in 1 second. The miut that we're talking about here is at the end of the shchita. He did the shchita berov properly. Then he's shoheh, then he waits the amount of time of k'day shchita, and then he finishes off the miut at the end. The Gemara leaves that as a teiku. Teiku means abdina l'chumra. That means Rashi says it's a posel shchita. Imagine that. You did a rov b'kashrut, stop. And then you did a shia, and then you come back and you finish off the miut. Posel, shchita is posel. That sounds strange, doesn't it? Because had he done nothing, it would have been a kosher shchita. The fact that he comes back and does the miut ruins the shchita. And that's exactly what Rashi says. It's an unbelievable Rashi. If you look down in Rashi, teiku, he says, ulu chumra, ubi miut kama. If you're talking about the first miut, if he did it in the beginning, he did the shia in the first miut, igar geret, lav mida ad avid. If he's talking about the windpipe, he did nothing. Because if you do a miut of the windpipe, it's not a trefa, and it's not a shchita. So it's as if you did nothing. Because in order for the kaneh, the windpipe, to be problematic, you have to cut through the rove of the circumference. Over here, you only did a miut, so that does nothing. Velo shiahi. And it's not shia, because he didn't do any shchita, he wasn't mitarifit. On the other hand, he veshit. But if you go to the esophagus, dinikuva tobe mashu, there, if you puncture it with even the smallest amount, mitarfa, it becomes a trefa, mimonov shach. Either way, it's a trefa. Da, kevan de shah. If he waits now, then the first action he took is as if it was nothing. And it's like a puncture in the esophagus or a hole in the esophagus, and that's a trefa. So therefore, if you do a miut on the starting on the esophagus, it's a trefa. You do a miut on the kaneh, it's nothing. Venira, and look at this statement of Rashi, an unbelievable statement. Da shochet rov simanim vishlich miyado. The person goes ahead and shochet the rove of the simanim, and he stopped. Va'ov shoel amut. And the bird is not dying. It still has life in it, and it's waiting. It's not dying right away. So what do you think to do? To go cut the rest, to make the oaf die completely. Asur lachzor v'lachtocha mi'ut b'torat shchita. One may not go back and do the mi'ut over there. Demutav, listen to this. Shiakel atzavar b'sakin. It's better to whack the bird with the knife. O yamtid ad shiyamot, or wait for it to die. Because as long as you don't go back, it's a kosher shchita. If you go back, you're going to ruin the shchita because now you have shia and the miut acharon. And that goes back to the chakira that we spoke about 2 days ago. The difference in rov. According to Rashi, when we say rubo kulo, the rov is signed as if it is the rov, as if it is the kulo. And the rov is as if we look at it as if you did the whole thing. But that doesn't mean that the maisa is over. The miut that remains is still significant. And if you do something in that miut that's problematic, it will ruin the shchita. Therefore, Rashi says over here, better not to go back. Finish off the shchita. Better not to go back and finish off the ta. And to just let the animal die or to whack it so you don't ruin what you did until that point in time. Of course, Rabbeinu Tam feels the other way around. Rabbeinu Tam says anything after the rove is irrelevant. We say ruba kukula means the action's over. You did shchita. Shchita's done. Anything you do after the rove is irrelevant. If you come back and cut after the first rove was there, there's nothing to speak about anymore. You're done with the shchita. Whereas if you're talking about the miut harishon, when you're talking about the first miut, and then afterwards you do a kosher shchita, that's where we have a suffix. We have a suffix in the first miut because then you're doing it in a time period when it's significant, when it's all part of the shchita process. Over there, you'll have the question. And that's what Rabbeinu Tam said back on the Daf Lamed Amud Bet, that all these questions about miut are in the first miut, whereas Rashi believes that all the questions about miut are in the latter or the last miut of the Shechita. Because according to Rabbeinu Tam, if you do anything in the last miut, it's of course kasher, because it's irrelevant what you do. And that's the other side of the Chakira, Rubo Kukulo, according to Rabbeinu Tam, which is Rubo Kukulo means you're done. Once you've done the robe, you're over. Everything after that is insignificant. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Im Shah Kedei Bikur, that the amount of time that's considered for Shia is not about a new Shchita, but rather checking of the knife. My Kedei Bikur, what does it mean, Bikur? I'm Rabbi Yochanan Kedei Bikuro Shel Chacham. So the amount of time it takes for the Chacham to check the knife. We asked this question earlier in the Masechet. Im Kein, Atata Tavarech L'Shiurim. Once again, you now made it a subjective time period rather than an objective, because you don't know how close the Chacham lives to where the butcher is doing the Shchita. Ela Kedei Bikur Tabacham. Now it's a case where the butcher himself is the Talmud Chacham, and he can do the Bedika himself. He is the Chacham of the year. He's the person that does the Bedikot. So the amount of time it takes for him to do a new Bedika on the knife, that is what qualifies as being a time period of Shia. But it's the person himself who's doing the Shchita. If he would have been qualified to do a Bedika, the amount of time it would take for him to do a Bedika on the knife, that's the amount of time that qualifies to be Kedei Shia, according to Rabbi Shimon. All right, Mishnah. Shachat et aveshet to pasak et gargaret. He did Shchita on the esophagus, and then he punctures the gargaret. Oh, pasak et gargaret, he punctures the windpipe. Achar kach shachat et aveshet. Then he has Shchita on the veshet. If you remember earlier in the Masechta, that's what Rashi called ikur simanim, and that's what Rashi mentions over here also. Hainu ikur. That's Ikur. Back there, we saw that the Tosafot brought down other Shitot that disagree about what Ikur Simanim is, whether Ikur Simanim means that there's a catch, you have a catch in the knife that rips the Simanim, or whether you actually pull the Simanim out of their location and do the Shchita when they're out of location. But Rashi believes that this is the soul of Ikur. This is another one of the Lachot, the Moshe Mitzinai. We just did Shia on the previous Mishnah. Now we're doing the problem of Ikur. O shachat echad mehen v'imtim la ad shemeta. Or he only did shchita on one of the simanim and waited till it died. O shechlid et asakin tachad hasheni upasko, that we did before, which is that he slid the knife underneath the second siman and pasko, and then he punctures it, or he does the shchita from that side. That's a problem of hachlada. That's another one of the halachot to Moshe Mitzinai. Rabbi Yeshevav Omer Nevela. If he does that, it's a nevela. Rabbi Kiva Omer, it's a treifa. Klal amar Rabbi Yeshevav, Mishum Rabbi Yoshua. Kol shenifsula b'shchitata nevela. Anything where the problem arises in the process of shchita itself, it's a nevela. Kol shechitata kira'ui. If the shchita is fine, v'davar acher garam la lipasel, that something else is the cause of the problem here, then it's a treifa. V'hodulo Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva then admitted to Rabbi Yeshevav that he was right, and he retracted his position that this is classified as a treifa. Because here the problem is clearly during the process of the shchita, and therefore the animal is a nevela and not a treifa. Now the Gemara says, Shachat Veshet V'hodulo Rabbi Kiva. I mean, it's our Mishnah. The Gemara is now quoting our Mishnah. Viramini. Gemara has a question from Elu Treifot, which we're going to get to in the following parak. Elu Treifot Babeima. These are the trefot that you find in a behema. Well, here they are. Nikuvat haveshet, a puncture of the esophagus. Upsukat hagargaret, and a hole, or a problem with the windpipe. Wait a minute. We just said, according to Rabbi Akiva, who now admits to Rabbi Yeshevav, that if you have a problem during the shchita, that it's a nevela, not a trefa. So then, why do we have a Mishnah coming up that says elu trefot? And one of the trefot that's listed is psukata gargaret, the puncturing of the windpipe. If that's the case, then who's the author of that position that it's a trefa? With the psukata gargaret, it's a trefa, not an avela. Who would ever say that? Yes, it has to be. In order for it to be a problematic, psukata gargaret means more than rove, of the circumference of the windpipe, in order for it to be a problem. Right, less than a rove, it's a fine animal. There's no problem with the animal whatsoever. Amarova, lokasho. There's the first attempt at an answer. Which is kan sheshachat ulusof pasak. Over here is a case where he first did the shchita, and then the puncturing happened. Kan shepasak ulusof shachat. Here's the other way around, which is first he had the psika, first you had the puncture, and then afterwards you did the shchita. Because shachat ulusof pasak, if you have the shchita, and then the puncture happens in the process of the shchita, nifselet b'shchitahi. That's a psul in the shchita itself. But on the other hand, pasak, if you have a psikata gargaret, then b'sof shachat, then afterwards you do a shchita, ki davar acher garam lo lipasel damyo. It's as if something else is contributing to the problem. The shchita you did was totally fine. The animal has another problem. It happens to be missing a portion of its windpipe. And the portion of its windpipe makes it into a treifa. But the shchita you did was a fine shchita. As opposed to the other way around, where you started the shchita and you never complete it because the windpipe gets punctured during the shchita. So, eitvei Rav Achar Barhuna the Rovo. He challenges that understanding. Shochot et aveshet upasak et agargeret. There's a shchita on the esophagus. And then he punctures the gargeret. Or pasak et agargeret. He punctures the gargeret. V'achar kach shachat et aveshet. And then only afterwards does he do shchita on the aveshet. Nivela. Both of these cases it is a nivela. So that undermines Rava's distinction. Rava made a distinction between when the puncturing of the windpipe took place. So it matters if it happened before or after the shechita. Over here, we have a clear statement that it's irrelevant. And it's always a nevela. So that would undermine Rava's distinction. So now he's going to try to answer. Rava's going to try to answer and say, no. It means, v'kvar shachat et aveshet. In this statement, it's not that he did the veshet, shechitat aveshet, after psikat agageret, but rather, u'kvar shachat et aveshet. He already had done the shechita on the veshet. So miikara beforehand. So amarlei shteich duvat badavar. So we've seen a similar type of gemara earlier in the Masechta, but here Rav Achar Bar Huna says to Rava, I have two problems with the way you just answered me. Chado tahinu kamaita. Number one is that you just made two cases of the Mishnah be identical. In both cases, you were shochet, you did the shkita on the veshet, and then afterwards you punctured the gargaret. You just now created two exact cases. They're similar cases, and why does the Mishnah have to have two cases? That's number one. Ve'od ha. Tznan, it probably is not a Mishnah, it's probably a Tanya Breita. Ve'achar kach. The Breita itself says, ve'achar kach. It doesn't say, ukvar, that happened beforehand, but rather, ve'achar kach, that happened afterwards. Achar kach is a clear term of chronological order, which says that first you had the puncturing of the gargaret, then only afterwards did you have shkita teveset. Now, Rava offers up an alternative. Elo Omer Rava, elu asurot kitani. The Mishnah in Elu Trefot starts out wrong. It's not Elu Trefot. It's really Elu Asurot. V'yeshmehen Nevelot, v'yeshmehen Trefot. Some of them are Nevelot, some of them are Trefot. I mean, the list over there is not simply about Trefot. It's also about certain items that contribute to it becoming a Nevela, not just a Trefa. So Gemara says, well, if that's the case, v'lichshov nami dechizkiah, then if you're talking about Nevelot, then why does the Perek not have other instances of Nevela, such as Chizkiah, Damar Chizkiah, Asa Gistera Nevela. If you slice the animal in half, you completely in half, or according to Rashi, you sever the head, either that's called a Gistera, and it's a Nevela immediately. V'lichshov Nami D'Rabbi Elazar, or also you should have enumerated the Nevela of Rabbi Elazar. Damar Rabbi Elazar, Natla Yerech V'chalal Shela Nevela. The leg is removed, including where the joint is. It's totally taken out, and it's visible even when the animal crouches. That we said is a Nevela. Automatically, it's like a walking dead animal, and it's a nevela right away. So why didn't, if you think that Elu Trefot, that perek is not just about Trefot, it's about all things that are asur, even nevelot, well, I have some cases of nevelot that are not mentioned in the next perek. So where says, no, that's not a problem. Kik tani nevelot lo metame mechayim. I'm talking about the list in the next perek is only about nevelot that are dead, literally dead. But aval nevelot metame mechayim lo tani. Living dead animals, we're not talking about. And both the cases of Chizkiah as well as that of Rabbi Elazar, the death is immediate. It's classified as being immediately dead, even though the animal continues to be alive. Even though the animal still lives on past that point, it's a walking dead. The Elu Trefot is not dealing with walking dead. It's dealing with real dead animals. It's after Shechita, or after the process of death. So that's why they are not mentioned in the next perek. And that's Rava's answer to the question that there's a distinction between Elu Trefot and Elu Nevelot. Yes, Eino Hanami. But don't say the header of the perek is Elu Trefot. The header of the perek is really Elu Asurot. Everything that is Asur. The Tosfot just mentions over here, he says, you know, it's interesting because even if you have a Nevela, it can still be a Trefa. Something that is a Nevela can also be a Trefa. So why is it wrong that the Mishnayot say Elu Trefot and mentions this as a Trefa? So it's a Nevela also, true. But that doesn't mean it's not a Trefa. So Tosfot says that if you had both Nevela and a Trefa with an item, you would mention Nevela, not Trefa. Even though you violate both Lavin, the Lav of Trefa and the Lav of Nevela, if you assume it, nevertheless, you would focus on Nevela, because Nevela is more Chamur. It also involves Tuma, and not just an Isra Achila. So if it had both of them, it would have mentioned Nevela, not just Trefa. So to mention the Mishnah, Elu Trefot, and to ignore the fact that it's a Nevela, that's unacceptable, and that's what brings us to this question. So now we have the first answer to reconcile between Rabbi Akiva's changing of his mind and agreeing with Rabbi Yeshevav, and this Mishnah in Elu Trefot that seems to indicate that this problem is only a problem of Trefot and not a problem of Nevela. So the answer according to Rava is, no, Enochanami, it is a Nevela also. And the header of the parak is Elu Asurot and not Elu Trefot. So now we have an alternative answer. Rav Shimon ben Lakish Amar, Kan Sheshachat B'Makom Chatach, Kan Sheshachat Shelo B'Makom Chatach. Depends where you did the Shechita. Shokot B'Makom Chatach Nifsala B'Shechitai. If you do the Shechita in the place where the puncture already is, then it's a Pasul Shechita, because you didn't do any Shechita. What you did was already open, and it was open the rove, because that's what makes the Gargaret problematic. And when you cut through from there and onward, you've done nothing. You haven't done any Shechita. On the other hand, Shelo B'Makom Chatach, if you're doing it and not in the location where the Kata Gargaret is, where the puncture in the Gargaret is, then you don't have a problem. Shelo B'Makom Chatach, Ki Davar Acher Garam Lo, Tzadli Pasel Damyo. It's as if something else caused the problem over here. Because the Shechita is a good Shechita, and the Psikata Gargaret is a separate issue of Trefa. The Gemara says, Umim Amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish Chochi. Does Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish really hold of this distinction? V'amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish shachata takaneh v'idat shchita on the windpipe. V'achar kach nikva hareya. After that point in time, there was a hole or a puncture found in the lungs. Ksheira. It's totally fine. Alma keman demancha b'dikula damyo. We consider it or classify it as if it's placed in a separate location. If it's preserved and the moment of shchita, the lungs were fine. The fact that the lungs are punctured after you've cut through the windpipe is irrelevant because the feed to the lungs comes through the windpipe. Once you've cut the windpipe, that part of the body's system are irrelevant. So, Hachanami, why don't we say the same thing here? Command the mancha b'dikula damyo. Why don't we say the same thing in our case? Even if you cut b'makom ha-chatach, even if you cut in the place that the chatach is happening, it's as if it's done already. As if you've completed what you've needed to do until this point. And therefore, how could Reish Lakish consider or say before that there's a distinction between whether you cut where the chatach is or where the chatach isn't? If the chatach is already, if the psika, the gargaret is already rove of the windpipe doesn't exist anymore. When you go do a shechita at this point in time, what are you doing? You're doing a shechita on the esophagus, fine. But the shechita of the windpipe is irrelevant because anything that happens after the windpipe to the windpipe after it already is broken in the rove is irrelevant. Just like when you do a shechita on the windpipe, a puncture of the lungs afterwards is no, it doesn't, male velo mori, doesn't change the status. So to over here, if you have a crack in the windpipe that is up to the rove that makes it into a trefa, when you do a shechita afterwards, shechita is irrelevant. Because the windpipe is as if it's severed already, it's as if it's done. So there, we have a stira in Reish Lakish's statement, and therefore that cannot be the answer to the stira. El Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Av Amar Rabbi Yochanan, we have another solution to this problem, Lokasha, Kan Kodum Chazara, Kan Lachar Chazara. It depends when this statement was made. The Mishnah in Elu Trefot is before Rabbi Akiva went back and agreed with Rabbi Yeshevav. On the other hand, our Mishnah discusses where Rabbi Akiva changed his mind. And therefore, Mishnah lo zaza bimkoma. Even though the Mishnah now was no longer correct, because the Mishnah says Elu Trefot, and according to Rabbi Akiva, the Psikat HaGargaret is really a Nevela and not a Trefa. Nevertheless, the original Mishnah remained in place. They didn't go and then take the Mishnah and mend it. There's an amazing Rashi over here. It's good to see this Rashi inside. Mishnah, it's Rashi and Mishnah. It's right to the left of where we are in the Gemara. De'elu treifot acharsh nishneit b'midrash. After it was taught in the Midrash, lo zazamim komat. Doesn't leave its place. Lo shachachu atanaim. Remember, this is Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Baal Shebaal Peh is learned through repetition and learning it over and over again by heart. They all had learned the Mishnah of elu treifot already. And then Rabbi Akiva changes his mind. They didn't do this. They didn't change the Torah Shebaal Peh in their mind. Afa pishachazabo Rabbi Akiva v'chazru v'shanu v'kavu mishnatam af la'achar chazara. So even though Rabbi Akiva changed his mind and they continued to say this Mishnah after the chazara, they should have changed it nevertheless because of the hergel of having this Mishnah beforehand. They didn't change it. Afa p. Now the big problem is where is Perek Elu Trefot? We haven't done Elu Trefot yet. That's coming up. That means that this Mishnah of Chazara is prior to the Mishnah of Elu Trefot. Even though this Mishnah is first, and therefore the Chazara happened before the next Mishnah in Elu Trefot, ain't say to the Mishnah. There's no order to the Mishnah. Rashi asked the question on himself. Say there's no order to the Mishnah. That's only when you're talking about multiple Masechtot. In multiple Masechtot, we say there's no order to the Mishnah. On the other hand, in a single Masechet, we say there is order to the Mishnah. So how could Rashi claim over here, ain't say to the Mishnah? Listen to what Rashi says. It says, Avopi, that we say, Bechad Masechet, Arminim B'lifnei Dehem, in Avodah Zarah, Yish say to the Mishnah. Hanemila, that's only for one din. Stam v'acharkach machloket, or machloket v'acharkach stam. Because that makes a difference to whether the din halacha is that way or not that way. That has a nafkamina halacha. Shekpidu hachamim b'siduro. Only when we were talking about something that had a machloket in it versus a stam mishnah, that order in a single masechta the chachamim were very particular about, because they knew that had implications halacha. Shem machloket v'acharkach stam, halacha k'stam. Aval m'mini achrinit halo kabdina nasidra. Anything else is considered to be irrelevant, and therefore even within a single masechta, there's no order to the Mishnayot. And therefore, even though this Mishnah is prior to the Mishnah Elu Trefot, nevertheless, we say that that Mishnah Elu Trefot was learnt earlier and remains in place even after the Chazara of Rabbi Kiva here in our Perek. Right now we have a Gufa. The Gemara is going to deal with Rabbi Shimon and Lakish's din. Gufa my Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Shachat et hakaneh. Someone does shechita on the windpipe. V'achakach nikvah reya. Afterwards, you get a puncture in the lungs. Kshera, that is a good shchita. So, Amar Rava, lo Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, ela bireya. That's only true if something happens to the lungs. Ho v'chayei reya tzuliya b'kaneh. That's what I mentioned before. Because the lungs are dependent on the windpipe. So, once the windpipe's gone, the lungs become irrelevant. If they get punctured, it shouldn't matter, because they are now done. Aval b'bnei me'ayim, if it has a problem in the innards, meaning in the intestines, or in the stomach, if he has a problem there, that still will be problematic, because he has yet to cut the veshet. Since he has yet to cut the veshet, if something happens there, a trefo in those areas will be problematic. So Matkipla Rabbi Zeira challenges that understanding of Rava. Rava basically says that the din here of Reish Lakish is dependent on if the item is connected as a system to the thing that you've done the shechita on. So you've done the shechita on the windpipe, the lungs that are connected to that system are now as if they're dead, gone, finished. So anything that happens after that fact doesn't matter. On the other hand, the b'nei me'ayim, the intestines, which are connected to the esophagus, and you have yet to cut the veshet over there, they're still relevant to those trefot, because you haven't cut through the item that gives them chiyut. On the other hand, Rabbi Zeira comes along and says, I don't understand this. By Rabbi Zeira, and he says, Rabbi Zeira, ma'achash noldu ba simena trefa hatarta. Even though you have a siman trefa, you still say it's mutar. Mali bireya, mali b'bnei me'ayim. Why does it make a difference if it's in the windpipe or if it's in the lungs or in the intestines? It should be irrelevant. So what does Rabbi Zeira hold? Rabbi Zeira holds there's no such thing as a trefa for chatzi chiyut. There's no such, you can't create a trefa when the animal is half alive. The animal, once you've cut through one siman, is only half alive now. Any trefa that happens at this point is irrelevant. Doesn't matter if it's in the lungs of the b'nei me'ayim. There's no such thing as a trefa for chatzi chiyut. The only time a trefa matters is when the animal is completely alive, before you've cut any of the simanim. Once you've cut one of the simanim, all trefot now become irrelevant from this point forward. If they were there beforehand, they're problematic, but if they are now come into existence at this point, they're not trefot, because there's no such thing as a trefa de chatzi chiyut. Then the Gemara says, Hadar bei Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira retracted this. What he retracted is actually a very good question. Rashi says he retracted his question, and he now agrees completely with Rava's explanation of the statement of Reish Lakish. That's the way Rashi learns it. On the other hand, Tosafot says no. Hadar bei Rabbi Zeira from his question. He retracted his question, but his position is not the same as Rava, and we'll see in a second why not. Because he says now, the boy Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira had a question. Nikfu b'nei ma'ayim ben siman the siman. If the intestines became punctured, get a hole in them between one of the simanim, between one of the simanim being shachut, and the yet to be shechting the other siman. Mao, what's the din? Mimit starev siman rishon the siman shein latara midei minivela. Olo, does the second siman, is that mitstarev? The siman rishon, is that mitstarev to the siman sheni in order to make a tarar? For aminan, lav hainu debayi ilfa. Isn't this like the question of ilfa? So what we're suggesting over here, the question of Rabbi Zeira at this point is, I have two simanim, I've cut through one of the simanim at this point in time, and now I have a trefa come into effect on the b'nei me'ayim, on the intestines. What is the din over here? Now, as far as achila is concerned, there's no such thing. You're not going to eat it. That we know for sure. You're not going to eat this animal, because when you cut the second siman, it's already a trefa. It's a trefa already, you can't eat the animal. The question is with the first siman. When you cut the first siman, you cut it for two things. One is, at that point in time, it was still kosher l'achila, so the cutting of that siman would make it mutar b'achila. Number two is, it also is mitayaret midei nevela. It takes it away from being a nevela. So the first siman, when you cut it, has two aspects to it. One is to be matar achila. The other one is to take be metairet midei vela. When you cut the second siman, there's only one aspect left now. It's already a treifa, so you can't eat it. The only aspect that's left is now if you cut through that siman, it's metairet midei nevela. Our question now is, that first siman that had both aspects, can it be mitzareif to the second siman that only has one aspect? That's the question that's being posed by Rabbi Zeira. And now we compare it to a case of ilfa, which is the question of ilfa. What's ilfa's question? Hotzi ubar et yado ben siman l'siman. Ein ubar, a baby that is found inside of the mother, a fetus that is found inside of the mother. If you do shechita on the mother, the fetus is mutar through the shechita of the mother, because it's considered to be ubar yerachimo, it's an extension of the mother, and the shechita of the mother takes care of anything that's inside the mother, including the fetus, including this baby animal that's inside. The problem here is, if the animal comes out, if he comes out, then anything that's outside of the behema is not nitar yadei shechita. Over here, the animal is completely inside for the first siman, but stuck out its arm or its leg before the second siman went to effect. Before you had a topo kosher shechita, the animal stuck its leg out. So mahu, what is the din over here? And as Rashi points out over here, that the limb that comes out has a din of a treifa shechuta. The limb that comes out has a din of a treifa shechuta in that instance. And that's what the question that we're posing over here. Mi mitzarev siman rishon l'siman sheni l'tara midei nevela, or lo? Does the siman rishon that had the effect of both being matir de behema be'achila, as well as the mitzarev midei nevela, is that mitzarev to the second siman that only has one aspect to it, which is its mitzarev midei nevela, because the leg's already out at that point in time. So that leg, that piece, is what we're discussing over here. The rest of the behema that's inside is kosher and no problem, you can eat it. The only thing is the ubar that has the leg that stuck out, the status of that leg. The first siman that you shechted was the leg was inside. So you're both mater b'achila and mitar midei nevela. The leg was outside before you did the second siman. The second siman is only mitar midei nevela. Question is, can you mitzarif those two simanim to make it that it's mitar midei nevela? Gemara says, adkan lo yibayilon ela tara midei nevela. Over here we see the only question at hand is it a nevela or a treifa? Aval b'achila asura. Nobody is willing to entertain the fact that it would be mutar ba'achila. Now, if we go back to Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Zeira's question when he challenged Rava before, he says, Mali b'nei ma'ayim, Mali re'ya. What's the difference between the lungs or the intestines? And when we had the statement of Rabbi Shimon Lakish, it's k'shera, you could eat it. If the lungs are punctured after the windpipe is severed, that's a kosher la'achila. And if Rabbi Zeira's question still stood, then he was asking, when if you have a puncture in the b'nei ma'ayim, if you have a puncture in the esophagus, that should also be kosher le'achila. Over here, you see that Rabbi Zera's question that he poses is only whether it's tahor midei nevela. He does not pose the question as whether it's mutar b'achila. So you see that Rabbi Zera was chozer, that he went back on his position. Again, according to Rashi, that means that he was chozer legamrei, and now he holds like Rava's explanation of Reish Lakish. On the other hand, Tosafot points out there's a subtle difference between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Zera, and that is that Rabbi Zera says, his question is, if nikvu b'nayayim ben siman l'siman, between the two simanim. You know what Rabbi Zeira doesn't tell you? Which siman you did first. According to Reish Lakish, his din is only applicable when you do the garret first, when you do the windpipe first. So since when you do the windpipe first, you now detach the lungs, therefore the lungs become irrelevant. But over here, what you see from Rabbi Zeira is that he doesn't mention which one went first, which siman went first. And again, that means that Rabbi Zeira's position is premised, according to Tosafot, on Ein Treifa L'Chatzi Chiyut. There is no such thing as a treifa for Chatzi Chiyut. He remains in that position. He just takes away his question. He says, I now understand why it's not Mutar B'Achila. I just want to know if it's Mitayar Midei Nevela. So that's what Tosafot said. Tosafot says that he removes his question, but his position's different than that position of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish's position is that it's as if you severed the item entirely and it's irrelevant. And according to Rabbi Zeira, the issue, or that what we're discussing here, is whether you can have a trait for the chatzi chiyut. And that position remains. That difference remains, even the maskona. Just that now, Rabbi Zeira is not questioning Rova's understanding of Reish Lakish, because he now never says that it's mutar b'achila. On the other hand, Rashi says, when Rabbi Zeira takes away his question, he goes the gamrei to Reish Lakish, and now he's saying, like Reish Lakish, that's kamanda munach b'dikla. It's as if it's removed, taken out entirely, and not a question of chatzi chiyut. So, Amalei Rav Achar Barav the Ravina, Dilma lo'olam lo hadar be. I'm not so sure that your proof is right, that Rabbi Zera retracted his position. V'Rabbi Zera l'dvarav d'Rava kamar. No, Rabbi Zera's statement is in the position of Rava. V'lelo svirle, but he doesn't hold like that. So who says that Rabbi Zera's question, when he says by Rabbi Zera, that question is premised on Rabbi Zera's own beliefs and own position? Maybe Rabbi Zera's question is according to Rava. According to Rava, what's the din when the animal sticks out its arm between the two simanim? Similar to what Rava's statement was about before, when we saw Rava's statement before about Ben Siman, the Siman, when there's a Nekev in the Reyo. So to over here, you have something transpire between the two Simanim. So Rabbi Zera's question is, according to Rava, what would be the din over here? Not that he's asking on his own behalf. And based on that, we can say maybe Rabbi Zera did not retract his statement. He did not go back on his position. So we'll stop over here, and that then is the inconclusive, whether Rabbi Zera was really Chozer Midvarav, or Rabbi Zera still holds of his position, but rather he is just asking within the words of Rava. All right, we'll stop over here, and we'll continue. I mean, even though the sugya continues, not in our story, but about Reish Lakish's din, we're going to continue. It starts a whole new section, and we'll continue with that tomorrow. So we'll stop over here.